Are we on? Great. Good. Well, good morning. Isn't it exciting? What? Well, we're 11 months through the year. How crazy is that? 4 weeks to Christmas. Whoa. Scary, yeah? First Sunday in Advent today. And so we're just going to be chatting. My thoughts this morning may come out a little bit randomly, please forgive me. I've got various thoughts, and they may not come out in a super sequential, easy to follow order, but hopefully there's something in what I feel to share today that might just land with you and encourage you on your journey. And I want to talk about, it might be a bit cheesy, but I came up with a title. Let the Adventure Begin. So I've got this potpourri of thoughts in my head that I'll try and get out to you. And of course, for some of you, when you think about Christmas, the adventure's already begun, hasn't it? How many of you have put your Christmas tree up already? Yeah, I knew there'd be some in the room. Yeah. So, you know, when our kids were growing up, we had a rule in our house that nobody was allowed to talk about Christmas until December. Because we didn't want the kids getting all wound up about it back in September, you know, and talking about Christmas present lists and all this sort of thing. Now, I know that my kids talked quite a bit between themselves about Christmas lists before December and tried to do it outside of Dad's hearing. They even had conversations with their mum outside of Dad's hearing. I know this went on, and it was proved to me yesterday. Now, they're all grown up, they're all married, they all live out of our home, and how many of you on Facebook? Yeah, quite a lot of you on Facebook. And so, you know, there's a thing called Facebook messaging, yeah? And so you can have groups of people in a particular message group that they will just see and be able to contribute to a conversation. So yesterday morning, my daughter Steph, who many of you will know, put a message on Facebook messaging. So yesterday morning she wrote this: someone asked me for our Christmas list. Here is what we have thought so far. Brackets, apologies, it's 5 days early, Dad, smiley face. And then there's all these possibilities if somebody really would like to buy her and Tim, her husband, a number of possibilities. But here we are in Advent. At the beginning of this season, 27th of November this year to the 24th of December. I think this is the longest period that Advent can be because it starts 4 Sundays before Christmas. And so here we are. Of course, Christmas is on a Sunday this year. So we've effectively got 4 full weeks of this Advent period. And the season speaks of some things that Howard was praying for a few moments ago: hope, peace, joy, and love. And typically we think of those things over the Advent period. But the word Advent literally means coming or arrival. And the focus of the entire season is in preparation of a celebration of the coming and the birth of Jesus Christ in his first Advent. So we're all going to celebrate, yeah? Uh-huh. Well, some of you are not so sure. But not only are we celebrating the first Advent of Jesus Christ around 2,000 years ago when he came to this earth as a baby. Thank you for the baby right on cue. Made a noise over there. Brilliant. But also, we are looking forward, and Advent is looking forward to Christ's second Advent when he comes as king to rule and reign. And so, we're celebrating more than just a 2,000-year-old event in history. We're celebrating the truth about God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, God himself, Emmanuel, coming to earth. And I'm up for a celebration this year. And letting the world know why we're celebrating. Demonstrating to them that the truth of this whole season is wrapped up in this one, Jesus Christ. Because he came that all creation might be reconciled to God. And so we affirm that Christ has come, and that he is present in our world today by his Spirit, yeah? and that he will come again. You know, he was, and he is, and he is to come. That's what we're celebrating. That's what we're remembering through this period. You know, how many of you know Jesus is coming back again in bodily form, in person? We were singing it this morning. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Christ the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that he is coming back again. We sing it regularly. We declare it, and it's a great truth, and it's a great hope. And that acknowledgement is the basis for our life and our living, that we serve God and a living Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we live with that backdrop in our minds and our thoughts, it changes everything. It changes our perspective, the way we do life, the things we do, the things we say, is affected by that truth that we're serving a God who is alive and well. And in one sense, we are living in between times, in between the time of Christ's first advent and his second advent. So we're living in this between time. How are you doing? Well, hopefully you're doing well, because God has sent his Holy Spirit to help us and to journey with us. And as the church worldwide celebrates the breaking into history of that first incarnation and looks forward to the future, we confess that it's our responsibility to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our minds and all our souls, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. You know, those are the great commandments that Jesus talked about and encouraged us. And in this season of Advent, the spirit of Advent, adventure, that we continue to live with is an amazing adventure. How many believe that, you know, living the Christian life is an amazing adventure? You know, because it's supernatural. It's beyond the normal. That's why people look at us and they go, really? Until they've had a revelation of who Jesus is for themselves. And part of our responsibility and role is to share the hope and the expectation and the aspiration and the preparation that we work with. And there's a real sense of the best is yet to come. Can you just say that? The best is yet to come. I believe that here on earth, because, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about us going from one degree of glory to another. There's a sense of progress, I believe, in our lives, that what we've experienced in God so far is only a part of what he has for us. Well, thank all three of you. That's great. But actually, the best is yet to come, because one day we're going to be with him in heaven itself. There is a place reserved for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ that goes far beyond anything we can imagine or dream of. With Christ, with God, in heaven. You know, and when we look at this world, and, you know, Howard was praying for some of the issues of the world and the challenges that we face, and the issues and some of the struggles and some of the challenges that God's people face around the world, the evils, you know, things that through the centuries, through history, through biblical history, you think back to the Israelites, God's people in the Old Testament, when they were under the oppression of the Egyptians. And they cried out to God for deliverance. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at my internet news or watch it on TV or listen to it on the radio and you go, God, deliver us. Lord, help us. Help this world, your creation. We've got ourselves into a right mess. Lord, would you help us? And there's a cry, I believe, that goes up, particularly from God's people. And on behalf, particularly of those who are facing the issues of tyranny and exploitation, and we cry on their behalf. And it's a cry that's not a defeatist cry, it's a cry of hope. It's a cry of hope because God is interested in his people. And sometimes we have to go through stuff. You know, the Bible says that you run through a troop and jump over a wall. Didn't say you'd get them taken away completely. Somebody maybe needs to hear that this morning. But part of it is an expectation that God will come and deal with things righteously and with justice. You know, when Jesus comes again, there's going to be a sense of judgment with his coming. And he's going to come and he's going to sort some things out and he's going to test us, and we're going to be accountable to him. The world is, and we as believers will. The day of the Lord that Amos said, you know, will bring God's judgment and a questioning on each one of our lives. And in some parts of the church in the 20th century, and I'm particularly thinking the Eastern Orthodox Church, this Advent period is actually a period where they will spend time in prayer and fasting and penitence, because they want to get their lives right with God before his second advent, before he comes back again. I look around the room today, and probably there won't be too much fasting going on in the next few weeks. There will probably be quite a lot of feasting, and I will be joining with the feasters. Because a different emphasis came through the church with regard to Advent, and it's gradually unfolded to a lot of the church. The season of Advent is to celebrate in terms of expectation and anticipation, rather than in the context of judgment. But I think there is a point where we do have to ask ourselves the question, being a believer in Jesus Christ, being a follower of him, how does my life stack up to the responsibilities he gives me? How do I live to this world? What do I display to this world around me? But there's a real sense in this Advent period that God wants to come and put hope in our lives. Not that we live in depression, but live in real hope. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 8 of Romans. And he says this. He said, "What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay." There's going to be a freedom from death and decay one day. That's a great thing to have a hope for and a belief for. "For we know that all creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering." Yeah, I mean, some people, yeah, even here this morning, some we've prayed for already, who were going in hospital for operations and things this week, some with continual health issues, are longing for that sin and suffering to be released from them. "We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he has promised us." Well, just nudge the person next to you and say, "That's got to be good news for you." You know, new bodies. New bodies for each one of us. When were we given this hope? Paul says we were given this hope when we were saved. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you became a child of his, when he dealt with the sin in your life, you were saved. Saved completely, 100%. We've got people getting baptized this evening. I think we've got four so far who are going to get baptized. And they're making a public declaration that they're followers of Jesus, that they've given their lives to him, that they've asked Jesus to forgive them of their sin. And they're starting a new life with him. It's a wonderful thing to do. It's in fulfillment of the challenge that we've given in Scripture to repent and be baptized. You know, and the day that we are saved, this hope comes into our lives. Changes everything. Changes my perspective. This is why during the Advent period, we anticipate both that sense of celebrating the Christ who's come as the Savior, but the Christ who will come as King, as sovereign over the whole world. So, some traditions will focus on penitence during Advent, and maybe there's a place for that to a degree. But the spirit of expectation from the Old Testament and captured in the New, I think Hugh was talking about the 10 virgins a couple of weeks ago and the preparation for the bridegroom coming. And that whole thing about being ready is so important there. So rather than a time of mourning and fasting, Advent is a celebration, a time of joy and happiness as we wait for the coming King. And there's all sorts of expectations, aren't there? I already mentioned Christmas and Christmas lists. And you may even have a Christmas list. And it's not the way you walk. It's dawning coming across the congregation now, and other people are still going, what? But in our expectation, yeah, have you noticed how the world is looking, always seems to be looking for something bigger and something better? And that so much defines our expectations, doesn't it? And the media has a lot that it's responsible for in terms of its TV programs and glossy magazines. And often they promote things that... a lifestyle, don't they? That we think, ooh, this must be the new norm. You know, and everybody's got to have the big thing. I was intrigued, you know, Black Friday, this is a strange thing, isn't it? That's crept over from our brothers and sisters the other side of the pond. I was reading on the Evening Telegraph website, 5 o'clock in the morning, people were queuing up outside of Tesco's to get big screen TVs. At a knockdown price. Now, if you desperately, desperately need a big screen TV, fair enough. But I mean, there's some crazy pictures on the news around the country of things that were going on because people, it's this lifestyle, we must have this, the next big thing. And, you know, say the TV and the media. Myself and Amory sometimes watch a program called Escape to the Country. Anybody ever watch that? Oh, there's quite a few. All little aspirations to escape to the country. It's a funny old program. So you get these people who usually live in some big urban setup, maybe in London, and they're trying to escape the rat race. And they have this idyllic picture of living in the country. And they are usually asked at the beginning of the program, what would your ideal house look like? And there are two things, it does make me laugh, there are two things that regularly feature on their wish list. Number one, oh, we'd like a big kitchen diner so we can do lots of entertaining. I do wonder how much people entertain. Now, they might. But it's like so many people have the same aspiration. I've seen it in the magazines. And the other thing that I find really funny, the second aspiration for this ideal house is we'd like some space because we'd like to keep some chickens. You watch Escape to the Country, the amount of people who want to keep chickens, we're going to be overrun by the jolly things. So we have all these expectations and aspirations, and sometimes they're built on sort of things that are put out there with the media. Let me suggest to you that it's not always all it's cracked up to be. Myself and Anne-Marie stayed on a farm a couple of years ago on holiday. Escape to the Country. Jolly sheepdog, cooped up in the barn overnight, barked all night, every night we were there. When we spoke to the farmer, he said, oh yeah, you see, the dog gets a bit concerned when he hears a noise. Well, he's heard a lot of noises over the last... The smells... It's part of living in the country. That doesn't come over on the TV programme, does it? But there's all these expectations and all these aspirations. And we look at lifestyles and, you know, we look, oh, if it was only bigger, if it was only better. But actually, what have we got? We may feel we've not got a lot. Zechariah said, you know, we shouldn't despise the day of small things. Because God does some of his best work with small things and the least. And sometimes with people who we would least expect. You know, and it even goes into Old Testament history. how many times those Old Testament characters who now are big names, but their backstory is quite amazing. Let me just rattle a few off for you. These are heroes of the faith, aren't they? Abraham, but yet had real trouble in believing God. Jacob, the cheat who seemed to have struggles with everybody. Joseph, the immature, arrogant teenager. Moses, the impatient murderer who can't wait for God. Gideon, the cowardly Baal worshipper. Samson, the womanizing drunk. David, the power-abusing adulterer. Solomon, the unwise wise man, if you read the whole story. And yet God chose them. Wow, what hope for me and you, huh? Yeah, you know, as we go into the New Testament and we think about this season that we're entering, a young Jewish girl from a small village in the remote corner of the Roman Empire was chosen by God to bring to birth the Savior of the world. Never ceases to amaze me how God often begins with small things and seemingly inadequate people, seemingly unqualified people. Yet if God can use them, maybe my inadequacy, lack of wisdom sometimes, and sometimes lack of faith, God can even use me. What about you in this season that we're in? But I think also it challenges us to think about how we think of ourselves. Because sometimes we can put limits on ourselves and say, actually, that's okay for them, that's okay for them. But actually, I don't know whether I can do this or live this way or do what God's called me to do. I think this is part of the wonder as you think about the Advent season and you think about Mary and Joseph, and that they were the chosen to see Jesus born and then brought up. You know, but not the most obvious of candidates. The most humble beginning for the Savior of the world. Even the wise men couldn't quite believe that Jesus hadn't been born in a palace. But maybe in this Advent season, God wants to use me and use you to be a blessing to this world and to bring some hope and some joy and some love and some peace. And if we go right back to the beginning of this year, you may remember we started the year thinking about the prayer of Jabez, where Jabez prays, he said, "Oh, that you would bless me." I'm talking about, would you give me favor on my life, Lord? Would you enlarge my territory? Give me influence and let your hand be with me, that sense of God's anointing upon us to be that blessing in the world around us. And of course, a big key in Jabez's life was that he was a man, the Bible says that he was more honorable than his brothers. And he seemed that he would live his life aright. So that was right at the beginning of the year, and we started thinking about that, and then Hugh spoke about us being salt and light earlier on in the year, and about our influence for good with the people around us, the people we rub shoulders with. And then Joe talked about that we are blessed to be a blessing. How many of us are blessed in this place because of Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives? And there's a call on our lives to share that and to bless others. And in the middle of the year, I picked up on that theme and talked about us living out the blessing of God. And asked us to consider a couple of things. Number one, what have we got in our hands? Even though it might not seem a great lot in terms of resources, what have we got? What have we got in terms of talent and gift, ability, finance, our ability to write and encourage? What are we able to do in terms of acts of kindness? I put out a bit of a challenge in the middle of the year. What about thinking and asking the Lord to help us with two acts of kindness every week until the end of the year? How are we doing? I want to encourage us in this Advent period to pick that up again and to consider what we're doing. You know, as a church, we do a number of things, and it's great. We've got social action programs. We support others, individuals, organizations, and churches. And 20%, over 22% of our income so far this year has gone to serving others. And I want to get us to think that again on an individual basis, how we might bless and how we might bring a blessing to others and bring some hope in this Advent season. There are a number of things you can do, you know, loads of things practically on a personal level, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us in that. But there's some things that we're doing corporately. You've heard mention about the CAP clients and the hampers, and you might be able to just buy something and take one of the things off that big bauble that's up there that will just indicate what you're going to buy, and bring that and pop it in the basket next week. There's a Toys for Joy scheme that CARE, Christian Action Resource Enterprise, are running this year, where we have the opportunity to buy a toy, give it to CARE, and they will ensure that it's given to a needy family this Christmas time. Our kids' team. Let's pray and bless our kids' team. You know, they're going into Fresh New Place next Sunday, Sunday the 4th in the afternoon, and Sunday the 11th in the afternoon. And they're going to be taking the love of Jesus there. They're going to be doing activities in Fresh New Place on the Sunday afternoon. Let's pray for them and encourage them in what they're doing. Let's invite some, if this is the greatest story ever told, let's invite some people to some stuff. So we heard about the ladies' event for CAP clients, and that's also been opened up to the wider church for the Amigos thing with the guys, an opportunity to bring some guys to stuff. And then we've got, well, this is a bit of an adventure for us as a church. We're making a film. You may have heard. We're making a movie. It is in production right now. And we're going to be showing it at Ormiston Academy, as Hugh mentioned earlier. It's called We Have a Saviour. And it stars you. Some of you are in it. And it's really exciting and quite scary. How many of you... I don't think you would really, but how many, is there anybody here who'd like to see a little bit of a teaser of the movie? Oh, it's only about five, so we won't bother Alex. You would? Yeah. Just kill the lights. Let's just play that. I said it was a teaser, didn't I? Oh, thanks. Those are the lights, guys. Brilliant. Wow. Yeah. Let's encourage the guys who are involved. So we're going to be doing that on the Saturday, the 17th in the evening, and the Sunday morning, the 18th, both at Ormiston Academy. And the film will be split into three, and it'll be interspersed with carols and those things. So invite people to hear what this is all about, that we have a saviour. That's the reason that we're celebrating this year. I wonder if the musicians will come back and then we'll bring this to a close. You know, but the greatest thing, when we think about this Advent period, the greatest thing that we have received, that you and I have received, is this gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Of all the gifts that you could receive at a Christmas time, there's nothing that beats this. The Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. The Apostle Paul writes, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And maybe the adventure this year for somebody is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never done it before. But this year is a year where you recognize actually there's more to life than this. That I need the Saviour that these people are talking about here today. Begin by receiving God's forgiveness for all the stuff that may have gone wrong and all the stuff that you may have done wrong in the past. And receive his gift of life, eternal life, with Christ the Lord. Maybe that's your adventure this year, to step in to this exciting life with Jesus Christ. And how many of us know God is delighted to bless us and encourage us and strengthen us? And it comes with responsibilities to live a life worthy of that calling upon us. And in this in-between time of Christ's first advent almost 2,000 years ago and his second advent, of when we do not know exactly when that will be, we're in this in-between time, but the great joy is that Jesus, when he left earth that first time, he said, I'm going to send someone to be with you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've got the Holy Spirit in my life, helping me live the life that Jesus has called me to live, empowered to be who he wants me to be. The Holy Spirit has come. And I believe in that as well. There's this call on us to, having freely received, we can freely give. What have you and I received today from God that we want to take as a blessing to our world? Maybe the adventure for others here is to invite the Holy Spirit to come and help us by filling us and empowering us to fully utilize what we've been given. It's a great joy this week to chat to a couple of people who've been on the Alpha course this time round, and we're talking about a day a couple of 3 weeks ago, which is the day looking at the whole subject of the Holy Spirit. And they said, I can't explain it all, but we were praying and I just felt this incredible peace and I knew God was with me. One of them said, I started speaking some strange words. We would call that, and the Bible calls that speaking in tongues. And I said, well, how did that make you feel? He said, it was amazing. It was amazing. And then they said to me, you know, at the end of the Alpha day, I went home, and I went to bed in the evening, and I found myself speaking this strange language again. And I said, how did it make you feel? He said, it was amazing. You know, God wants to do amazing things. The Holy Spirit is not just for an Alpha day. It's for life. He is for life. He is for your life, my life, every day. We can tap into the strength that he brings, the encouragement he brings, the empowering he brings to be a blessing into this world in this Advent period. How many believe that God wants to bless us with his Holy Spirit to be a blessing in this Advent season? And I'm putting a challenge out there to each one of us today to say, why don't you call on the Holy Spirit again as we sing a song in a moment to conclude, and ask him to come and fill us afresh, to empower us to be all that he wants us to be. So let me pray. I'd love to pray. I'd love to pray for people who perhaps want to ask for the salvation of the Lord to come into their life. And for the very first time, you want to pray that. I'd love to pray for you. And I want to pray for the Holy Spirit's blessing and filling in our lives, because your act of blessing this season may just transform somebody else's life for the future. So let me pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you in this Advent season that we enter. There is great hope and there is great joy because of all that you have brought about through the giving of your Son, Jesus, who came and lived and died, that we might know our sins are forgiven, that we might enter into new life with him, and that we might have an eternal destiny assured. Lord, we thank you today. And I just want to pray, if there's anybody here that you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you, or you've never asked him to come into your life to bring his salvation to you, if you want to do that, I'd love to pray with you and not embarrass you, but I'd love to pray with you right now. If there's anybody who wants me to pray for them, why don't you just raise your hand while everybody else has got eyes closed. Just raise your hand if you want me to pray for you. Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that you've seen the hand that's been raised. And I thank you, you hear the cry of the heart. and where the cry of the heart is genuine and sincere, you come with open arms and you put your arms around us. And I pray that that would be the experience, this lady who's put her hand up today, that she would know, Lord, that now, as she asks you, that you would come right into her life. That, Lord, that you would come and all issues of the past would be dealt with, and there would be hope and certainty for the future that is totally undeniable. Lord, I pray that you will presence yourself with her. Bear witness with her spirit that she is now your child. I ask these things in your name. In your name. In your name. Now I want to pray for us all, that the Holy Spirit would come as we ask, and I want you to just pray a prayer in your own hearts, quietly, that he would come and fill us afresh and empower us afresh for this Advent season. And then we're going to sing in a moment. So would you stand with me? And I want to pray. Father, what a joy it is to be your children, to know that you are with us and you are for us. And as we were singing and declaring right at the very beginning, that if you're for us, who can be against us? But Lord, we recognize, Lord, there's a call on our lives to honor you, to live for you, to share in the blessing that we have received. And I pray now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us as your church to be salt and light in our neighborhoods and our communities and with our families and friends and work colleagues. Lord, in Freshney Place, when we're there over the next 2 weeks, may we be salt and light. Lord, would you help us? Would you come? Would you fill us afresh by your Holy Spirit? Empower us to be witnesses for you in the name of Jesus.